Blog Talk Radio.
Do you have an idea? A dream? One that you are so passionate about but have no clue on how to manifest it? Then sit back, relax, and welcome to Love, Light, and Passion. Here, award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and guests talk about taking that passionate idea and making it an abundant reality. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Wendy is the founder of Social Abundance Marketing. They partner with you and strategically deliver your unique business content onto social media platforms, thus helping you engage and develop your business relationships. After all, making social media abundantly clear is their goal. And now your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hello, everyone. It's a new week. It's a little rainy here in Louisville, but that does not dampen anybody's spirits that's online today. I'm really excited about today's show. We've actually had this guest before with his business partner, and today we get to talk to John Zeidel, just the two of us. So John and I, just a little history, we met each other through our Taekwondo training, and I love training with John because he's very meticulous about it, and I'm like, well, if I kind of get this, and so he's like a good person to like keep me straight and keep me focused on it. So it's just really great. But then we started to talk, and based on his ability to build relationships, I actually do group coaching with him and his business partner. And I look forward to being able to go because it is really a safe place for a small business owner to learn and grow and be comfortable, because a lot of times when you're a small business owner, who do you go to talk to about and get the advice that you need? So I like their perspective on selling, because as the name of the show, I'm not a real big person on the hard sell for myself or anybody else doing it. So it's all about the going from the hard sell to relationship building to really build up a customer base that you want to have. So I'm really excited. We are going to turn on John's mic. We're going to say hello, and we're going to have a great show planned for you. Hey, John, how are you today?
I'm great. Fantastic.
Great. Fantastic.
And I'm really glad that you said that I'm meticulous in the way that I teach, because honestly, I think that comes around into how I train, you know, with sales professionals and business owners the same way. Christy brings a lot of heart to the equation and everything like this, but when we're coming down to details and how does this work and everything like that, yeah, I try to drill down and be very meticulous about it, because the more I know how and why it works, then it just can happen, you know, for those people that it doesn't happen for naturally. I think it's important. So
yeah.
So thank
absolutely.
You. Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yes. And I am like John and I'm the big thinker type. That's why I can do the marketing I do. But John is A, B, C, and D and Hana Do Set in Taekwondo language. But because of that, it actually, people like me need people like John, because it helps balance that out so that you can do be successful. So I think that it's really great. But we have a great show, and I did do a little bit of a funny name, because I'm not into the sales villains. I can talk about villains. Sorry about that. And so I think it's a really important show, because we just actually got done talking about that. But before we get into any of that, how did you get started in sales training originally?
Well, I literally have been in sales since I was 14. And during my career, I had some of the best trainers. I've had wonderful sales managers. I've had bad sales managers as well, but I've had really a lot of good people in my life and gone and seen some of the best sales trainers that are out there, and, you know, seeing Zig Ziegler Live and Tom Hopkins going through some of his trainings and the like. And what I found out was, you know, once you start putting in systems, you know, just like you said, you know, some of this stuff comes natural, but some of it, if I know the system and become more intentional, I can actually change my percentages of winning. And that's honestly because there's no such thing as a silver bullet. But if I can take little things and put things more in my favor for winning, wouldn't that behoove me to do? I mean, if you can go to the – I mean, we're broadcasting from Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Kentucky Derby. If I could – you know, anyone can win going to the track and betting on a horse. Well, the jockey's wearing pink, and I, you know, and then I win. And so then I always bet on pink, you know, and that's my system. But you're really, in the long run, you're going to lose. And that's, I think, most salespeople do that. They close a few sales, or they close maybe, you know, they're good naturally. But unless you really know how to read the program and know how to really handicap horses, you're missing out on a percentage that you can actually even do better. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And what makes it interesting to me, and again, because we have more of a relationship, so I get to ask you all these questions, but what makes it interesting to me is that even though you have all of this experience in sales, you've expressed to me before that you're more introverted. And so it's amazing to me to see you in spaces and talk to people. I mean, because usually when you think of somebody introverted, you're like, the last thing that they're looking for is that, you know, being in crowded places. I mean, you guys do a monthly networking things that you know, and so I think that's, so tell us how that actually has helped you.
How did I get started? I guess it started when I was in high school. And I went to the high school dance, right? And I wanted a girl to dance with me. And I realized that was the first day I was selling myself, right? You know, you had to get out of your shoe, out of your comfort spot. And constantly since then, it's been getting out of my comfort spot. That's why I think maybe I've been a little bit more meticulous, a little bit more intentional and watchful for systems, because it didn't come naturally for me. You know, some people have that gift of gab. Both my parents are, well, my mom was very much an extrovert, but my dad was very much an introvert. But, you know, they were both mathematicians. My dad was an accountant for a large company, and my mom was a math teacher. And my mom could talk to anyone, and she did talk to anyone. And I saw how helpful that was in her career, and actually how, you know, and I always wanted to be that, but I always was afraid, what happens if I say it wrong, or what, you know, if I come across stupid, or, you know, I put up all these mental blocks for myself, you know. And when I made it less about myself and made it more about the system that I was using, that was able to get me some confidence, because the systems work. And then you start emulating it and being a part of you, and then it just continues to grow. So the system starts you on the right track, but eventually it changes you, because you adopt it as your own, and it becomes part of your communication behavior. And that is really what we're trying to do with some of our sales training, is basically change communication behavior. Do you mind if I just go on for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So one of the things I think is sort of unique about, and I just sort of had this epiphany with the Christie the other day, is you know the saying, if you want to hit the moon, you shoot for the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, most people know that relationship selling works. I mean, if honestly I can make you my friend, the likelihood that you'll buy from me is much greater than if I'm just trying to sell to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we do in our, you know, and you've been a part of this, is we work on that likability factor, you know, that not only the credibility factor, but that likability factor, so that you're really honestly always looking for that relationship. And if you miss, you know, and that person is not willing to be that friend or anything like that, I'm still able to make that sale, that transactional sale. But we go into that, let's go for the relationship, and let's trigger those things that, you know, let's help someone feel at ease. Let's actually not try to sell someone, because no one wants to be sold, right? You don't want to be sold.
No.
Right?
Ever.
Yeah. No one. Yeah. And so where I think most sales training goes is they're trying to teach you how to sell. They're trying to teach you how to do that transactional thing. They're trying to say, shoot for the moon. Well, if you're just shooting for the moon, you're going to miss more often. But if you're shooting for the stars, you'll hit the moon more often than if you're just shooting for the moon. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's an interesting thing, because on my side of the table in marketing, I'm always like, pick your target market. You will always get the outskirts, which is a little bit opposite, but that's what ends up happening is, and I think that's what you're saying though too, is that if you build that relationship, you're going to get a greater thing. And for us, if you pick that target, because we'll talk about this more later, because that's one of the questions I have, is that difference between marketing and sales. Because one is what you're saying, is that you have to shoot for that moon, that relationship, and target marketing is different. And we've had this conversation, so I want to save that for later, because
okay. There
is a big difference between the two, and we've had conversations about knowing which one you're doing when.
Yeah, and we've actually found, and I've got the statistics now, you know, that actually this actually increases anyone's sales ability. It goes up, you know, percentages, substantial, because they've actually changed their self-talk and their intention going into it. I'm not looking to sell. I'm looking to team up with my client. And when you've actually changed that paradigm, that immediately changes your inner motivation. And your inner motivation has changed, you will have the success that you've always wanted to.
And that brings me to my next question, which has nothing
okay,
to
great.
Do with sales, but we're going to go back to the topic of Taekwondo, because,
okay.
And the reason why I'm going to ask you this is because I know that the discipline of that has really actually helped you, and talk about confidence and, you know, positive thinking. And so in that specific realm, how has, because you've 10 years now? Right.
Yeah, I've been training with Grandmaster Huang for 10 years. I achieved my third degree about a year ago. Yeah.
And so how has that, the last 10 years, I mean, because we've heard a little bit about your history and where, you know, how you got here, but how has that specifically changed the way that you react and confidence building and all of that? Because I think when you're so disciplined into a martial arts like that, you can't help but change as you.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the things that the Taekwondo, I went to military school in high school, and went to military junior college. So, you know, having a regimented, and I told you, you know, I believe in adopting the systems. I've had somewhat of a regimented life, and the Taekwondo training that we've had is very regimented in it. But what it did is it opened my eyes to a couple different things in the training realm. And human nature makes us do certain things. And in Taekwondo, someone attacking you, they're going to grab you. Human nature wants you to pull away from that person. Some of our Hapkido training, though, we actually go towards the person that is grabbing us, and we can break that bond, that grip, with just a little bit of pressure. You know, those type of things is, and when it comes down to someone really grabbing me, because I've done training in a safe environment over and over and over again, now my human nature has been reconditioned into a way that will actually help me get away from that situation versus actually make that situation possibly worse. That has been, I think, the biggest eye-opening thing for me for the martial arts training, is really realizing that training in a safe environment repetitively is what actually changes the behavior. We can go to classes, you know, or read a book, and we go, wow, that's great, and that sounds great, and we try to adapt it, but it doesn't stick. I mean, you know, when you've been taught a form, I can show it to you, you can go through it once. Do you know it, Wendy? Can you do it in front of a judge?
Testimony that it takes more than once to learn it.
Right, yeah. It takes doing it 1,000 times, but 1,000 times in a safe environment. And that's really sort of an interesting thing, because when we talk about our job, right, and you think about, I know you have several business owners and sales professionals, and business owners, you know, part of your livelihood as far as bringing money in isn't marketing gets you known, but the act of selling is what actually brings the money in. And on that, how often have you practiced in a safe environment with someone that's guiding you along? So many people wing it, and that's like the most important part of your business.
Yes. And you know, and it's interesting that you said that, because that brings me right to my next question. You're going right along.
Wow. It was almost like I got a list of your questions beforehand, which I didn't. But it's almost as if. Anyway.
But here is my next question, because we talk about this a lot, and it's based on, you know, the name of your company is Arkham Executive. So it has something to do with super. You're a little bit, you like superheroes a little, but... My question is, just a little bit, but my question is because one of the first thing that drew me to the ideology there is that when you're a business owner like myself and you're trying to make it, is that you really become like, it can be exhausting. It could be mentally, emotionally draining, and it could be all those things, and yet you're really trying to be a superhero for yourself, your family, by running this and keeping, you know, and not stopping. So that actually brought me into, like, where does your small business owners or superheroes fit into the sales equation because of what you just said? Because it's not, you know, you're trying to bring in money, and
right.
yet you kind of have to always keep your head above water, at least when you're trying to do that. So that brought me
The idea behind a superhero to me is the intention, because you think about, in the comic books, the difference between a superhero and a supervillain is what? I mean, I can't see the difference. Matter of fact, the supervillains probably even have cooler costumes, you know, sometimes even cooler powers, right? And cooler gadgets, right? So if I can't see it, you know, what is it? And, you know, let's look at the difference between Lex Luthor and Superman. You know, Lex Luthor is really, he looks at Superman as an alien and you have to distrust him, you know. But Lex Luthor wants to control everything. He wants to make sure that everything is running well. He owns this huge company and in the comic books, he actually becomes president of the United States at one time. But it's all for control, because he thinks he knows better than anyone else. It's very inwardly focused. It's for me to control because I know best. Superman comes in he's outwardly focused. I am doing this as so that you as an individual can grow up the way that you won't have to be controlled by other people. But sometimes you need a protector. Sometimes you need a helping hand. It's outwardly focused. And I think, honestly, entrepreneurs, you know, those small business people come into the reason of starting their company because something in them is there to change the world. Just like you're in your business, Social Abundance, you wanted to help other small businesses get their word out, you know, market effectively. And you know this market as far as digital marketing extremely well. And you want to help those people. But as a small business person, what do you have to fall back on? Where's your safety net? Do you have one?
Most small businesses don't.
No. But you do it anyway. You do it anyway. You know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. He's a college student. Why is he out at night helping people? You know, saving them because something in him goes, that's the right thing to do. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. He feels responsible to help because he's been given that gift. You almost feel responsible because you know this stuff and you see people making mistakes. You want to help. You're doing it for the right reason. There's no safety net. You're doing it because it's the right thing. And that's why we call, you know, entrepreneurs that entrepreneurial hero, because they truly are doing it for the right reason. The other thing is, you know, why we called it Arkham was because Arkham Asylum is the nut house in Gotham City, where Batman is. And, as entrepreneurs, sometimes we have to wear the salesman hat or the marketer hat or the accounting hat, the janitorial hat, you know. And so we have to wear a lot of different hats. Sometimes it's a little crazy. And so that's why we wanted to be that resource, that place to, you know, we use sort of a group therapy approach. We bring all these entrepreneur heroes together so that they're able to chat in a controlled environment and learn and get better at their craft of running and promoting and selling their business so that they can actually become even bigger heroes.
And I love going, by the way. And I'm having one of the other people that were in group come over later on today. I can't wait to sit with her. But my next question is for you is, so, and we just got done talking about this, I think, last group. But I think that it's so important because I know for myself, I get completely turned off if I think that somebody's going to hard sell me. I won't. And right. So I have a tendency to go, I know I don't want that. I'm okay with not wanting that. So I can't always see past the hard sell to say, right, okay, there might be a relationship here if we can get past this. So how do somebody like me, or, you know, we were talking about this, but how do you get past that hard seller? Because I think that's, and the other side is that when you are not a hard seller, you react so much.
Sure, yeah. I mean, so Kim, our mutual friend, right? She's an accountant or a bookkeeper. And, you know, she was telling us the story that, you know, she's meeting with this person and they think they're going to tell each other about their business, and it seemed like the guy was one-sided, you know, trying to put screws to her as far as, you know, closing her to, and he was a financial planner. The challenge is, and, you know, remember I was talking about human nature. Human nature, if we think that the other person doesn't know what we want to, or our specialty, or our, the thing that we're learned about, our passion, our our business, right? He goes, well, you don't have a life insurance plan, and this is why you need to have it, and blah, 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 blah. And he found a gap in her knowledge base, and he wants to fill it with all the stuff that he knows. That's human nature. And this is why, you know, the training through Arkham is good, because that's ineffective. What he's actually done in that case, by cramming all that information down your throat, you know, that hard sell, is he's actually turned you off. And you know, all you're looking to do at that moment is escape. And it's not necessarily that you don't want the product. Your brain has not been engaged to make a decision. You are making no decision. You've decided this is not the person I want to deal with. I am making no decision about this because I don't feel comfortable. And so that becomes a, you know, it's almost a psychological thing of that hard sell. That's why, you know, unless, you know, every once in a while the person gives in and says, okay, that's fine. And then the person that's doing the hard sell says, see, it works. All I have to do is do it harder next time. No, that's absolutely wrong. It works just because, like we said earlier, you can go to the horse race and put money down, and sometimes you win. You know, sometimes a hard sell will win. But honestly, it's ineffective. What's more effective is, and so you wanted the escape clause. If you find yourself in that situation, right, you wanted the escape clause, right?
Right.
Okay, so if you were talking to me, you know, about, you know, social abundance and the marketing and how ineffective my plan was and how you needed to be a part of that, and I'm listening to this for a while, I'm going to empower all your listeners now with this phrase. And you say, hey, wait a second. You know, because you're going to have to interrupt them. You know, so, hey, wait a second. Are you trying to sell me, or are you trying to educate me? I want you all to say that out loud. Are you trying to sell me, or are you trying to educate me? Now, the other person's going to say, I'm trying to educate you. I would say 80% of the time, probably 90% of the time. Now, if they say, I'm trying to sell you, they say, I'm not interested. And if they keep on trying, you have said, you're trying to sell me, I'm not interested. You now have permission to close that door, you know, pretty adamantly. But most likely they're going to try to say, I'm trying to educate you. They say, that's great. So let me ask you some questions. Now, what about this? What you've done by starting to ask questions is, who's in control now?
You are, because now it's about you asking the questions, which is...
Right. And so now you know that their intention is to educate you, and now you're asking questions, so you're allowed to get the information at the pace that you want it to be. So now you can possibly even make a decision. Actually, you're helping the other person out by taking control, because he's literally lost control. Because they're trying to ram things down and your brain is almost to the place of, I don't want to talk to this person anymore. You know, you're actually, by saying this, hey, wait a second, are you trying to tell me or educate me? I'm trying to educate you. Okay, well, tell me about this then, because, you know, some of that stuff that you said doesn't pertain to me. I'm interested in this. Oh, well, you know, we do this and blah, blah. Okay, and what about, you know, you're in control at that point. And if you're in control, then you can exit the conversation.
Which leads me to my next question, because I think that depending on where you are in your business or the training you've gotten, when do you know that you're ready to be able to turn something like that around? Because I think sometimes as business owners, we say yes, even though we know that we're not ready, or we say yes because we're trying to make, again, we want to make the money, so we'll say yes to that sales call or 101, or how do you know where it's a good time to say, yeah, I can handle this and turn this around, or I probably shouldn't do that yet because I'm going to, because time is money, I'm going to get resentful later because I'm not there yet.
Well, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't take a meeting with someone that you absolutely, well, you have to set the parameters down. You know, in the case of Kim and the financial planner, I mean, if Kim has some doubts about her financial planning and stuff like this, she can go in and, you know, I would take that meeting. If she absolutely had no intention of changing any of her financial planning or anything like this, she sets that meeting with, hey, I'm trying to get to know you. I am not interested in this. I think we can work together on possible referrals back and forth, but this is where I'm at. And so that, you know, both people know right off the bat where it's going to go. You know, what is it? When we have relationships, setting boundaries is really healthy for relationships. And this is, remember, what we're trying to teach through ARCM is relationship selling, relationship, you know, it's relationship communication. And if we can set those boundaries on the front end, I think at any time you can do this. The challenge is just remembering to set those boundaries. Again, human nature, oh, they want to talk to me. Great. I'm ready to talk. And then, you know, they had their own agenda and they turn around. And that's why having that statement of, hey, are you trying to sell me or educate me? You know, gives you an exit strategy. You know, also hand out one of my cards if they're that hard person that you need to call me, and you know, and we can tweak their behavior, because honestly, it's ineffective. It you know, I can show you stuff. I mean, you will close, but you could percentage wise close so much more if you're toning it down. If you're truly trying to tame up with your customer, because that way you'll actually be recruiting, you'll be actually looking at your clients differently, because this is very important. As you are trying to grow your business as an entrepreneur, and you really, you have that part of your soul is in that business, I want to help my clients out there, right? That's the reason why you started the business. You're trying to team up with your clients. So now, if I'm trying to help my clients, who are my clients? Anyone on the street? Well, no. Who would you really want to have a relationship with? Now, if you ask yourself that question, it is really, who do I want to recruit into my life? And now it's no longer just prospecting or just marketing. It's a recruitment product. And that's why people need you, because you have that target marketing, right? And that is truly, I want to recruit these people because these people are the ones I want to work with.
That's really funny, because my next question was, what's the difference between a sales call and a recruitment? So,
all right.
It's like reading
we
my
are
mind.
Just, you know, and just for your audience, no, I did not get a list of these questions beforehand.
No,
but Wendy and I know each other well enough that she leads me into the question, and I get it to the next place. Yeah.
So, I mean, but there is something about that there is this recruitment, and we talk about this often. And I was actually, while you were talking, and it remind me of it. I guess it was sometime last year. Christy showed a video of like the hardest sales call. This guy was calling and he kept saying no, and he walked up behind one of his employees and took the phone over. I can't remember who the guy was, but
right, yeah. And they were actually selling sales training, which I thought was sort of funny.
And I found it so, I mean, the man said yes, but I felt like, and this is where, you know, that's why actually I came up with the name Supervillains, because sales.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there is a bullying process that goes through that. And like we're so anti-bully.
There absolutely is.
But that's what we're teaching. I mean, or that's what that process teaches, is if you don't say yes now, we'll just continue to bully you until you do.
Right. And so, and it does have a, it has a love, it has a level of success. To me, you know, and that becomes the supervillains. The supervillains didn't become super by only doing it a little while. They've actually learned the art of doing it even better. And they, you know, they've gotten so good at it, they've become super. And so it takes a super hero to shut them down. You know, in the comic books, who wins? It's the superhero. Because honestly, because the intention is right. You know, the bullying, you know, the hard clothes and stuff like this, has a place in it, but it's transactional. You know, that is, you know, the very, very beginning of our conversation, we said what they're doing is they're teaching you how to shoot for the moon. And if you have training, you can just look at shooting for the moon and you can now hit it 70% of the time. But if I work with you and you're shooting for the stars, you're going to hit the moon almost 100% of the time, and you're going beyond the moon and hitting some of the stars as well. That truly is the essence of going for that relationship sell. Because honestly, you saw that video, and you knew that client surrendered. He says, "Okay, I guess I'll get your stuff." But do you think that they'll really want to buy from that guy again, or ever, you know, even pick up a phone to call them again? No, that's the worst person. That's the last person I want to call, because I don't want to get bullied again.
Right. Right. That's the essence of what happened. So instead of that relationship, you're just like, no, I'm just not going to answer your call anymore. And, I think that there's a huge difference between the two, because also to me, relationships help each other in other areas too. It's not just about that sale. It's about how else can you help the person.
Think about in high school, you know, if you did any sports, if you played volleyball, if you played baseball or whatever you played, right? You've been exposed to coaches. You've been exposed to good coaches and bad coaches. And I tell you what, it's the one that get in there, dig, you know, is constantly, you know, you worthless little maggot, you know, type thing, is going to be effective to a point. But you'll actually start feeling your self-esteem going down, and you don't want to work for that person. You know, you may be seeking approval, but if they're all constantly beating you down, you're going to stop, you know, only a few people will rise in that situation. But if you have that coach that inspires you, that truly you feel like they're looking out for your best interest, you're going to improve to a different level. So the good coaches, you know, they're coaches and they're both effective, but which one is actually more effective and which one actually sleeps better at night and has people write wonderful things about them? It's the ones that inspire. And if that's what you want to be as an entrepreneur, then behave like it. Don't go after the money. The reason why you became an entrepreneur in the first place is to change the world and do it in a way that inspires others.
That reminds me, last year, Cole was on basketball team for his school, and we'd go to the games, my husband and I, and the other coach, most games, not all games, but the other school, their coaches would be screaming and yelling, I mean obnoxiously so, and then there was our Cole coach, who was quiet as can be. And I went up to him after one game, and I said, "I really appreciate that you don't spend the whole game screaming at these kids." And he said, "Well, if they're good, why do you have to shout?" And I was like, well, that makes sense. And so he built a relationship with them and encouraged them quietly as opposed to screaming at them the whole entire time. And I went, well, that makes a lot of sense. And it's the same way. If you have something that you really want to help somebody with, you don't have to scream it. You can just quietly build that relationship up. So I think that's key.
Now I don't, you know. Now you know that I hold people accountable too.
Right.
You know, it's and I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm not going to scream, but you know, you have been under my stare before, right?
Oh.
You know, when we've had one of our group meetings, which is sort of a, tough love. You know, type thing,
mm-hmm.
because there is discernment. You know, there is holding people to a certain accountability. But if you now think about that, if you have a relationship with your client that you can do that with, wow, that's amazing to me. You know, that's a way of, and you can't do that unless you started the relationship. Who is it? Tim Sanders. He was the solution officer for Yahoo for years. He wrote Love is a Killer App. And he talks about love being the application that really does make things go around. And that's really was instrumental to me, you know, years ago, when I realized that, you know, if you do it from a heart of love, you know, encouraging, building those people around, means tough love too, you know. And you know, we think about our children. How do we want our children to behave? And that is how I want to act in business too. I want to have integrity. I want to have, I want to have my son to feel good about me. So I want my clients to feel good about me. There are so many different things that I see in the business world today. And unfortunately, some of which I think is even in bigger companies. I think there are some big companies that do it right. Or at least talk the talk real well. But the bigger you are, sometimes the more likelihood that you lose your soul. You know, in the small business world, I think, you know, you may only have one employee or five or 35 employees or even 100 employees. That's a small business. But you're responsible for those people and you're responsible for your clients and the like. And if you think that you're only responsible to yourself and to the bottom line and to money, you're mistaken and you are, and by definition, going to be on that road to villainhood instead of herohood. Is it herohood or hero dumb? Hero dumb? Anyway. Anyway. Herohood, I think, sounds better. Anyway.
But that brings me to, so, and we have about 16 minutes left, and I have like a few more not a lot, but a few more questions. But
okay.
I am game because, you know, one of the things is, and let's see how much, because I do go to training and with John, but one of the, and I always laugh when I have to role play, but I did say that I would do this. So on air,
yeah.
I'm going to do it. But I want to do it in the way that what's a good team up. And I need to preface this, that you have to understand John takes calls from salespeople just so that he can help them and critique them at the end. So I know he does, unlike me or other people who are like getting that hard sale, John's like, well, let me help you with this. As you're trying to say something. So I'm just prefacing this that because I have, we all have our own sales style. So, what I want to do is do a team up for us, like what that looks like in that recruit to team up stage, because I don't know. And you said something key there, which was, you know, are you trying to educate me or sell me? So we were going to do that, but let's do something that would look like a good team up, like a good match for two people. Not necessarily, and it doesn't always have to be the sale. It could be that relationship to get referrals and build out.
Sure. I mean, so, you know, when we network, when we're meeting people, you know, in the line, you know, and they notice, all right, so I'm going to be the client. You're going to be put on the spot there, Wendy.
I'm so okay, so, good. I said I would, so that's why I'm doing that.
Yeah, I see you at McDonald's, and you have your social abundance shirt on. Hey, social abundance, what is that?
It's Social Abundance is my company, and I help others who do not like social media, like social media, and they're help them win their business marketing. What do you do?
Oh, well, I have a company where we do actually training for small businesses. So I actually am very interested in that. So what do you mean by social media? Is that Facebook?
Well, it's a little bit broader than Facebook. It's all spectrums of social media. And so what I do is for a business like yours, I come in and find out about your business and see how and if social media can help your business grow.
Okay. So I'm going to go into to coaching training mode here for a second. You did great. But you said a business like yours, I mean, because you said I own a business, but you don't know what I'm doing yet. So one of the things I would have tweaked with right then, because you want to start asking questions. You want to take control of the conversation, not control of the other person, but of the situation of the environment. So now if I was you, you'd say, you know, someone says to me, hey, I see your shirt says social abundance. What is that? You led into it just right. What do you do? So you now know a little bit. And I say, well, I'm sales trainer, blah, blah, blah. So tell me a little bit more about this. Is it Facebook? This is the time that you say, tell me what your marketing strategy is right now. What are you using to get your word out? And right then, I then start answering some questions. And I'm saying, well, I use Facebook and I use LinkedIn. How are you using LinkedIn? Well, I'm using it this way. How are you using Facebook? I'm using it this way. Do you find that effective? Well, yeah, it's sort of effective. Would you like to learn how to make it a little bit more effective? Well, yeah, of course. Well, that's really what I do. If you want to, let's set up an appointment for later on to do this. What I'm saying is this is key. When you want to create, you know, right, we're not trying to sell. We're shooting for the stars. We're trying to get that relationship. And a relationship, I think, thinking about becoming a friend is, you know, someone has opened up the door. Someone was brave enough to say, hey, what is that on your shirt, right? Because there's a certain bravery in just opening up a conversation. I want to make person my friend. And how I make them my friend is I validate them. I validate them. I validate their questions. I'm not flirting with them. I'm validating. Oh, that's great. So tell me a little bit more. I'm finding out about this. But I'm also using that information to build onto and finding out how I can fit. Whereas this is totally against the human nature part because they asked a question, I realize that they have a gap, and I want to tell them everything. That is the nature going, and that's me grabbing the arm, and I'm pulling away, human nature. Remember, Hapkido is going into the client instead of trying to pull away. going in that's actually going to make it effective. Wow. Isn't that really good? That was really good, Wendy. I actually used a martial arts analogy in with this.
In with it.
Anyway.
Well, and so, but this is really key. And John and Chrissy have sat in real play for me one day for hours and for a phone call. But and what's key about this, though, is constantly hearing, and I knew that as soon as I started to talk about myself that John was going to pull this away, because, but that's the most important, I did know that. But what's really important about that is that knowing that, because a lot of people do it and they don't know they're doing it, and they don't know that
right.
they're being then that salesperson that they didn't want to meet with.
Right. So you are now at the point of awareness,
mm-hmm.
and which is just like our training, right, at martial mm-hmm. arts, and just like our, you know, Cole's training in volleyball or basketball. I may not be able to shoot that corner shot. I may not be able to spike that ball, but it first has to come with awareness. I first have to know what that looks like, what that feels like, and I have to do that over and over and over again. So you're at that place of awareness. I mean, this was last night. For your listeners, yes, I'm a black belt taekwondo to 3rd degree, but I'm only a blue belt in judo and hapkido. So I'm only halfway there. And so last night, we were a couple of the lower belts, we were throwing each other, and I was able to tell one of the people, I says, I know I shouldn't be saying, I'm one to speak because I'm not doing it well, but I can see where it is that if you do this, it will be better. So I am now at the moment of awareness of it. I'm still training my body to do it instinctually. And that's where you're at, Wendy. You know, no, don't give yourself a hard time. You were aware of it. And if you're aware of it, then you can turn the you know, in a real life scenario, you would have
right.
turned right around and
mm-hmm.
realized that you were talking and saying, by the way, what are you doing right now? And then,
right.
you know, get right back on track. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so we have just a few more minutes, and I have two more questions. But we do talk about this because you bring this up. So I do marketing, you do more of relationship sales training, and you meet people in networking groups all the time, and so do I. And they're employed by a business, and they come out to the networking group and they say, "I'm the company's marketer, and here I am." And what it, because I think you have interesting thoughts on this, and I agree with you, by the way, because companies constantly send out marketers to networking groups, and that's, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I usually go, if they happen to have the business owner next to them, which a lot of times that they do, because the business owner says, "Hey, I want you to market the business. Why don't you market at this networking event?" And, okay, I'll do that. And the person says, "Well, I'm the marketer for the business." I go, "Huh, okay." And I look over at the business owner and I say, "So what is your way that you measure if Susie is doing a good job marketing?" "Well, we have more business closed." I look at Susie and say, "You're in sales." Because
right.
if your axiom of success is actually a closed business, or, you know, money in the door, it's no longer marketing. Marketing is awareness. It's making it easier for that sale to happen. But if you're going to grade them on the sale itself, then it has gone from marketing into sales. And yes, those two are worked together. And so most small businesses, and I said this the other time too, and I'll ask all your audience. I said, you're a small business owner. You have to have more clients, more business, right? That's the main thing on your If I had more clients, I would have more money coming in. If I have more money coming in, I could do this and this and this, and I can actually reach more clients and likelihood. So what do I need? I need more clients. And you have a small budget. So what do you spend your money on? Spend it on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Spend it on, you know, and you're great about this, Wendy. And I'll say this about you. You want to make sure that the marketing is effective. And you say you need to have a plan for this, and that plan has to include your sales component. But most marketing companies don't say that. You know, you'll buy the ad for the team, the Little League team, you know, where you put a business card ad, or you'll buy something in Business First, or you'll do a direct mail piece, you know, that people will open and they'll see it, and maybe they might use the coupon. But when they call, if you're not able to close that sale, or if once they come into the transmission shop and they are only getting what they came in for, you haven't created any relationship, the likelihood that they'll come back is zero. Likelihood that they'll look for another coupon, which probably you won't spend again, they'll just be going for that. So they're going for an ease of use. They're not looking for that relationship. And that was your responsibility as an entrepreneur, to create those relationships, to keep on having clients come back. So much easier if you put money into that emotional bank account with them. Everything is currency. You know, there's money currency, there's time currency, and there's an emotional currency. You have to invest. You have to invest the time. You have to invest the emotions. You have to invest the money. I tell you what, if you invest the emotions and the time, you have to invest less money. People don't realize that. That's important. That's key to growing a small business, because, first off, small business doesn't have a lot of money.
Right. And that is key, because I will say that, and we talk about this all the time, my first 2 years in business, it wasn't because I had clients in Louisville. I do now, but it was all about those relationships that I took years to develop and nurture from when I was in New Jersey. And it's not always an overnight thing, but I can definitely see, and most, I think, small businesses who operate like that can see the difference of when you build a relationship and how that can flourish, because I get referrals from referrals just based on those relationships still. And I think
because they want you to do well, because they are emotionally invested in you. They want you to do well.
And I think
isn't that sweet? Yeah.
It is sweet. I'm very grateful for it, because I love my clients. Yeah. But I have one more question, and then we're going to wrap up, because we've got about almost a little less than 2 minutes. So in one word, we did this last time, but now I changed it a little bit. In one word, what is the most important thing to remember in the selling process?
Mm. Wow. First off, passion sells. So, you know, be yourself, you know, show your passion. I mean, I know this isn't one word. because if I just say passion, you may think that I'm giving you permission to throw up all over the customer with your passion. No, I'm not. It's the customer's ability to receive that information. So I think the most important thing about the selling process is the client. It's not about you. It's all about the client.
If
you keep the if you focus on the client, you know, and this is what you should ask Christy to talk about. We do a segment on making you the favorite of the client. So if I'm a hairstylist and I, you know, John's my favorite hairstylist, or, you know, I'm a sales trainer. Who's your favorite sales trainer? Wendy?
Who's what? You are.
Okay, good. So I, you know, I was sweating for a second.
In time. We are running out of time. That's the only thing. Please tell everybody how to get to you so that they can contact you because you're awesome.
Yeah, the best way is texting me, you know, on my cell phone, and I'm very responsive. 502-777-7892. So 4 sevens in a row, 892. 502-777-7892. Arkham Exec, the website is ARKHAMEXEC, executive for short, ArkhamExec.com. As our website, there's a contact us, and there's actually an app on there to actually set up an appointment. So it actually syncs up to our calendar, so you'll know when we actually have free time, and we can set up a phone call or a face-to-face. And I love face-to-face. If you're in the Louisville, Southern Indiana area, you know, or if you're in Atlanta this weekend, I'll be in Atlanta. Getting my butt kicked in a martial arts tournament. So, you know, come, you know, if you're in Atlanta, come and see me. It may be the last time you see me live.
Oh, no.
But anyway.
You're going to do great. Thank you so much for coming on the air. And we are having your business partner next week, Christy Smallwood. And it'll just be part B of this. And I just adore the two of you. So thank you. Have a wonderful time and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much, Wendy.
You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.